And hand in hand, we'll find love's promised land. There'll be no one but you for me.
On 98 FM and online, this is Phoenix FM.
Weather on Phoenix FM. Proudly sponsored by SEHBAC, the award-winning home improvement company for windows, doors, conservatories and extensions.
This evening there'll be variable cloud around with a good deal of clear spells developing through the night, especially in the east. Remaining largely dry, aside from an isolated shower towards dawn, risk of overnight frosts. Minimum temperature will be 3 degrees Celsius. And then tomorrow, patchy cloud in the morning, with a risk of an isolated shower becoming dry and bright with a good deal of sunshine through the day. Maximum temperature will be 9 degrees Celsius.
Weather on Phoenix FM, sponsored by SEHBAC, the award-winning home improvement company, proudly serving Essex for over 50 years. Contact us on 0800 666 444 or visit sehbac.com for help with your home.
The Arts Programme on Phoenix FM. This week we have a show anchored by sustainability and design, as we will be talking to Becky from Retro From Scratch, a local bookbinding business that successfully prides itself on upcycling and making things last longer.
And we also have the national news of the week, some super local events you shouldn't miss, and much, much more, including a fun book and author themed playlist, mainly chosen by the ladies running the monthly craft club at the Mercury today, Jill, Hannah and Carrie. So we're tying in with our guest on our playlist today, and also there's a few new songs as well from some of the guests of the show to ease you into your Sunday evening.
So let's get on with the show. I'm Natalie.
And I'm Claire, and this is the Arts Programme on Phoenix FM.
My God, my heart beats faster and my mind is racing. And for me.
the Chateau d'If has stolen him away. The mind plays tricks, you are confused. The man you seek is long gone. Dead and cold, a story told by those he trusted, those he loved, and those who then moved on. I am a ghost, just a mirage, who chases traces of you.
Dark and familiar and deep as the sea.
This man is dead, he is no more. And though it's torturing me, can either of us really ever be free? How can you stand there, whisper from me, when you damage, there are no words left to say.
And that was I Know Those Eyes from the English concept recording of The Count of Monte Cristo. The musical is, of course, based on the book of the same name, originally written by French author Alexandre Dumas. Edward Dante had a bright future, but he's falsely accused of treason and imprisoned at Chateau d'If. After 20 years, he escapes to acquire a large fortune and returns to the Count of Monte Cristo to begin his quest for revenge. The Count of Monte Cristo is, in many ways, the ultimate tale of betrayal, revenge, and love. So that was one of Charlotte's favourite book-themed musical songs.
Nice. Didn't know that one at all.
No, I don't know the musical at all.
No,
actually.
I don't either. That was interesting. It's kind of, you know, it's very, very musically rousing, wasn't it? It's kind of got those kind of, that tempo to it. But that was fun. Thank you very much for that, Charlotte. How's your week been?
Yeah, it's been up and down.
Up and down.
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, I haven't really been that culturally busy. Mainly been preparing for the Romford Horror Festival,
yeah,
so
how's that
doing
going?
Some programme stuff. It's quite far behind to where it should be. And then, yeah, got some sickness at the end of the week. So,
no.
Yeah, not too good. But otherwise, yeah, doing some bits and pieces, organised the first part of the Havering Number Fair.
Okay, what's that?
So we're teaming up with Havering Adult College, the Mayor of London, and the government, through want of a better name of who's doing it. But basically, the Numeracy Roadshow is something that's going around London in forms of lots of events to try and get people into maths.
Mm-hmm.
And the idea is that you can sign up to free courses at the moment in maths and basic numeracy, mm-hmm. and all of these things. In Havering, we're going from a slightly different perspective. So myself, as the No Collective, and Kaleidoscope, and Dicing with Life, the Games Club, are coming together to do a number fair.
Nice.
So instead of just doing some random maths and calculator stuff, we're doing some games and some arts and crafts and everything that links to maths where you wouldn't naturally think it would in art and design. So,
well, or as we were talking about the other week, how much maths does link to design. So that's really nice that you're kind of making that link between maths and creative.
And kind of preparing for their flagship event, which will be in Tobacco Dock at the beginning of March. So we're planning some bigger things for that.
Oh, fantastic.
But yeah, our event, the Havering version, is at the Mercury Shopping Centre on the 22nd of February, and you can come and you can play some statistical probability-based games. They're all fun and kind of these modern European games where you wouldn't naturally think maths is a very big involvement. You can play Higher and Lower. Got some prizes, so there is a bit of a fair aspect to that.
Yeah.
You can make a kaleidoscope with kaleidoscope. Nice. That's funny, isn't
it?
And I'll be there doing lots of mathematical based patterns as well, so you can come make an artwork with me.
Cool. Using,
what are they called the circly things.
I've got what, spirograph?
No.
Oh, you mean the spirals, the kind of like the
math
inside
circles.
Yes, the math circles, like the snail shell.
Yeah,
those things. We'll remember in a
compasses.
Minute.
Lots of
you mean you can
compasses.
Use? Oh, I see what you mean. You can just use.
We'll be using lots of fun maths tools to make art.
It's one of the most loveliest things that we used to have as kids was a spirograph.
Yeah,
I loved the spirograph. That was so much fun. You know, when you had all those different size circles and they made all sorts of different patterns.
Yeah,
that was fun.
There's something quite soothing about it, isn't it?
Yeah. No, it is quite hypnotic, isn't it? Mm. I think it's because it's circles as well.
And I think once you learn how to use a compass properly, there's so many more patterns that you can make. There's a lot of Islamic patterns that are based on just the basics of drawing a circle from different kind of increments apart. There's some really fantastic patterns that you see kind of chiseled into buildings that are just based on the maths of circles, which is amazing. So, and enjoy maths with me.
Enjoy
and
maths
geometry
in a creative
all of these
way.
Things.
Which, you know.
And then sign up to a maths course to enjoy maths more.
Well, I think that's a really good way of getting people into maths, actually, when you start talking about it as a creative thing and how it's enjoyable and it's meditative. And
it can
be
a tool. It doesn't have to be something that bogs you down. You know, we're not talking about tangents here. Just a little bit of circle making.
No quadratic equations or anything.
Hope not.
Circles.
I have no idea what that is.
I think that was the only thing I could do in maths was quadratic equations. I was really bad. Bizarrely, as a visual person, the worst thing I was any good at was, or anything to do with areas and triangles and working out, you know, hypotenuses and Pythagoras and graphs and stuff. Oh, yeah.
I loved all of that.
Did you?
Yeah, and that's kind of the basis of architecture as well, isn't it? When you go into, like, jobs like surveying and room planning and interior design, you need all of this stuff to be able to do that.
I was just much more freeform than that. As I've seen from my DIY skills this weekend.
Mm.
Much more freeform. Anyway, much more freeform than I expected to be. So I went on behalf of Phoenix FM. I went to see Wilco at Queen's Theatre, and Wilco is it's a play with music. That was kind of the distinction was made in the play, and that it's not a musical, it's a play with music. Mm. And this is about Wilco Johnson, who was a band leader of Dr. Feelgood and was in the Blockheads and various others. And he was this kind of sort of rock pioneer and kind of almost punk pioneer. And I think what I didn't know about, I had heard of Dr. Feelgood and I'd heard of him, but I didn't really know much about him and what I was going to be watching. So I went with this kind of gloriously, you know, uninhibited sense of
just,
well, whatever it is,
it'll
be.
Yeah.
So it starts off because he died 2 years ago, in 2022, I think he died. So it's kind of definitely sort of looking back at his life, but it starts very much at the kind of the first moment at the end of his life, towards the end of his life, when he was first given a cancer diagnosis. And so that's the kind of beginning of the premise of, you know, from that moment he decides, you know, he's got no time to do anything but live. And so he kind of talks a bit about what he goes off and does and tours Japan and does various other things. But it also kind of takes you on that retrospective right back. So it takes you back to when he was at school and, you know, spending a lot of his life being bullied by various different people around him from childhood
and kind of those moments that shaped who he was.
Yeah, and kind of, it does. It paints that picture of why was he the kind of slightly anarchic and left field and, you know, difficult person. I mean, I think, you know, there was a lot to love about him, but there was also an equal lot to dislike about him as well. He can't have been an easy character to get on with, and you know, there were lots of things that they kind of alluded to in his life that, you know, was sort of painting this picture of why he was like he was. But, you know, one of the things I just hadn't really appreciated was just how well-read he was. You know, he was talking about... He was quoting poetry in Icelandic verse and, you know, all sorts of things that influenced his writing and influenced his as a songwriter. And I just thought, you know, that this is somebody who was very proud of their, you know, really working class roots from Canvey Island and absolutely loved their kind of, you know, their background and their identity of who they were. But he, like, the fact that he could quote Icelandic, and he went to university and he went and did English literature at university. I mean, he was a really intelligent man and loved poetry, really kind of felt it in his very bone. Like the I can't remember the name of the actor that played him, but he was super. He was really good at kind of putting that across. But he also kind of put across his slightly egotistical side as well. You know, he kind of, there was this spat where he fell out with his band, the members of his band, and they went their separate ways. And, you know, there's this awful scene where he was, you know, having a row with the lead singer and basically turned around and said, you know, what the difference is between me and you is I've got talent. You know, he was cutting.
Kind of brash.
Yeah, really cutting. And, you know, married to this amazing woman who supported them through his career, but he was kind of polyamorous and she had to go along with that. You know, there was kind of all sorts of things that they were pulling out of it. But, you know, it was uplifting. You did get, you know, at the end, you did get a kind of like a set of three songs just played back to back, and the, you know, band were brilliant on stage and stuff. So it was, the audience was full. It was press night, but it was full. And, you know, even on press night, you don't always guarantee a full house. But it was really full, you know, full of obviously lots of people who were massive fans of Wilco and Dr. Feelgood. And it was fun, you know, it was kind of, you know, it was interesting and it was fun. I sat next to a lovely woman who used to be in, when Queen's Theatre, before I went, before I was chair there, one of the things that one of the sadder things that we had to do was kind of really think about the programming and how we were working as a theatre and wanting to do more partnerships. And so there used to be a company of actors that were connected to Queen's Theatre called Cut to the Chase, and sadly the kind of, you know, the company approach was moved on from in favour of working with lots of different companies and kind of exploring a variety of different types of theatre. And I sat next to a woman who used to be in Cut to the Chase, and so she was kind of talking about all the work that she'd done at the theatre, and she was, you know, just the new one of the cast in the show. And it was really nice to have a chat with her, and she loved it. Her and her friend really, really loved it and loved coming back to the Queen. So that was kind of nice that you've still got, you know, you've got a new audience, but there. You've also got lots of other audiences that come back to the Queen's a lot. But yeah, it was good fun. It was really good. I mean, it's an interesting time for Queen's. You know, they're going to have a new chair, new chief exec. See what the new takes them. Hopefully, you know, they're going for London Borough of Culture. See what happens there. But, you know, it was good
from the pipeline. I don't think you're going to move Matthew on that easily.
No.
He's going to be hanging around.
I think so too. Yeah. I mean, you can, you know.
In Havering, at least.
In Havering without Matthew, I don't think that's possible now, is it?
No.
But yes, yeah, so that was good. And then the other thing, I finished Fargo. That was my mission this week, was to finish Fargo. I finished it last night. So I've now watched it over the last 2 weeks, the whole lot. But I really liked the last series. It was long. It was like 10 or 11 episodes or something. It kept going on and on and on. But it was really interesting. And there was this kind of really weird cutback to some sort of Nordic Welsh man who'd sold his soul to the devil or something, and then had to it was this really weird kind of connection to coming from, I don't know, maybe it was Welsh from centuries ago, and I couldn't work out whether it was an inherited thing that had passed down through the family, or actually if it was this man who had lived for hundreds of years and was still here. Anyway, that was the sort of slightly weird bit in it. I mean, it's Fargo, it's full of shooting, it's full of, you know, violence and all the rest of it. But it was a good story. And actually the female who was the kind of lead in it, who had recovered from and had escaped from domestic abuse, was actually a really strong, empowering female character, and, you know, was very sharp-witted and very, you know, absolutely could take care of herself. So it was kind of, it wasn't sort of presenting, you know how lots of films still present women in victim roles, and actually they presented her as a woman who had been a victim and then had kind of, you know, moved out of being, overcame it, moved out of being, you know, moved away from being a victim and taken control over her life. But was also, you know, really handy with a knife and all sorts of different, you know,
which women should
electrocuting her windowsill so that so that people couldn't get in. You know, all sorts of kind of very clever things. I was like, oh, that's interesting.
Yes.
Not that I would necessarily do that, but that's interesting to know.
Women don't usually really have cunning, though, do they?
No, but she was. She was resourceful and cunning. So I liked her as a character, and you know, her mother-in-law was a you know. Difficult businesswoman, but again, really powerful female figure up against these so-called powerful men. And actually, she kind of got quite a lot of the sense of the men were useless and hopeless and rubbish and just terribly violent, and the women were shrewd and clever and cutting and basically won out in the end. So it was kind of quite nice. But yeah, it took a while to get through. Good old Fargo. But anyway, and then I've been listening to Lucy Worsley's Lady Killers.
Yeah.
Because why not? This is a bit more killing and death in my life.
If there wasn't enough already.
I like a bit of killing and death. That makes my life feel much better.
We're intertwined with mystery.
Yeah, exactly. Well, Lucy Worsley's fab. Mm. She's great value for money. And so she's looking at Victorian Lady Killers through her podcast. And I had... it's been going for a while, but I've kind of gone right back to the beginning and listened to it from the very beginning and learned a lot about Victorian lady killers, mostly poisoners.
Have you seen any of these Instagram, TikTok videos where the ladies put makeup on and they tell a story of women that are killers?
Oh, no.
No, you should have a look.
I'll have a look.
Have a look online. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's lots of different stories from all around the world, mainly in America, because there's a lot of American podcasters that do it. But they're putting makeup on at the same time. It's bizarre, but it kind of works.
Okay.
It gives you visual reference at
the
same
time. I'll try that one.
Yeah.
So we're going to get a bit of music, and then I want to come back to the other thing that I was reading a lot about over the weekend, which was celebrities and the perils of oversharing.
Yes.
So we're going to come back to that in a second.
It was a theme she had on a scheme he had, told in a foreign land, to take life on earth to the second birth, and the man was in command. It was a fly. We'll
Phoenix FM.
EV Charging Systems, your local, independent and experienced specialist home and workplace charge point suppliers and installers. With over 1,000 installations throughout Essex and East London and a 5-star excellent Trustpilot rating, we provide great personal service and are committed to help Essex drivers go green. Visit www.evchargingsystems.co.uk or call us on 01268 710 459. Install, charge and go with EV Charging Systems.
Strictly Air Ambulance is back, and so am I, Lisa Snowden, and my fabulous co-host, TV presenter, David Whiteley. Join us and our celebrity judges, Strictly's Nadia Bichkova and Kai Widrington, as contestants and their professional dance partners compete for the Strictly Air Ambulance Glitter Ball on Saturday the 9th of March at the Brentwood Centre. All profits go to Essex and Hearts Air Ambulance, your local life-saving charity. For tickets, search Essex and Hearts Air Ambulance Strictly.
At Hutton View, we are proud to be an award-winning care home which delivers high-quality residential and dementia care. Alongside this, residents can also benefit from a wide range of inclusive services. Enjoy time in the cinema, farmhouse kitchen or landscaped gardens. For more information, search Hutton View Care Home and see for yourself why Hutton View is a care home with a difference. Hutton View, a hallmark care home.
Lealino Billericay is an exquisite modern Lebanese restaurant featuring a beautifully expansive outdoor garden and a private dining room, a perfect setting to celebrate any occasion. We take pride in serving traditional dishes infused with a delightful modern twist, meticulously crafted using only the finest ingredients. To book a table or inquire about exclusive venue hire, call us on 01277 714 7 and join us to indulge in the epitome of modern Lebanese hospitality.
Need a will? Facing redundancy or an employment issue? Searching for some family legal advice? Seeking legal guidance for your commercial business? Or maybe you are moving property and are looking for an excellent conveyancer? Whatever the legal service, for life, business and everything in between, Pinny Telford Solicitors have it covered. Find out more online at www.pinnytelford.co.uk or call our Brentwood office on 01277 211 755 to book an appointment.
Phoenix FM.
Greedy. How could you leave me when I knew?
And that was, of course, Kate Bush with Wuthering Heights. And that was inspired by the 1847 Bronte novel of the same name. The song was released as the lead single from Bush's debut studio album, The Kick Inside, in 1978. And that was chosen by Natalie from Kaleidoscope. Thank you very much. Yep.
And then before that, we had China in My Hand, which I didn't know. The song lyrics refer to the novel Frankenstein and the author Mary Shelley.
Ah. Yeah. I didn't know that either. I just thought that was a really randomly lyriced song.
There you go.
But yeah, so the other thing is quickly I wanted to do this because I noticed that the world of celebrities and bless their little cotton socks. So over the weekend there was last week there was quite a lot of response to Greg Wallace, who is a celebrity chef, of course, from MasterChef and other things. And he had taken it upon himself to write his day of a day of his life in the Telegraph, I think it was. And so I read a few other articles about this, and basically, you know, the trials and tribulations of oversharing, and also it's just really difficult, isn't it? Because when somebody shares something, they're doing it for a good reason, I think, in the main, but they just make them sound so out of touch with reality and so bonkers that it doesn't really do them any favour. And I do often wonder where was his publicist in all of this? Where was his PR person who just like read the article and went, "No, Greg, really, no."
Please,
that all sounds a bit mad. But it's not just Greg. Orlando Bloom says that he likes to earn his breakfast. So he says, I'll have some green powders that I mix with brain octane oil, a collagen powder for my hair and nails, and some protein.
I mean, I wouldn't do any of that, but I do like the idea of earning your breakfast. Like,
earning
you have to
breakfast.
Do a task before you're allowed to eat your breakfast.
Yeah, but, you know, I don't understand what all those powders are. And then he also went on to say in the same article that he spent, and I'm quoting this, a lot of time dreaming about roles for myself and others for minorities and women. I was like, and apparently he said he was trying to be a voice for everybody. Honestly, he just needs to check himself. You can't. This, the white middle class man cannot be a voice for everybody.
It's weird because you remember that episode of him in of Extras, and it feels very much Orlando Bloom in Extras. Was he acting in that episode or not? It's
Mark,
hard to tell.
Mark Wahlberg is another one. He gets in on the weirdness. He talked about getting up at 2:30 in the morning.
Why?
To start his daily routine. And apparently Barbara Streisand gets up at 6 o'clock and plays the stock market until lunchtime.
Oh, okay. She's cool.
I mean, actually, she is quite cool.
She's cool. But that's a good thing to do.
As this article reminds us, like, more than anything, Greg Wallace's article and others remind us that they're basically living lives that are so far-fetched from the majority of us who live a reality in a normal existence, that it also shows how deeply weird a celebrity life is and peculiar.
I think it makes you wonder whether they actually enjoy life as well, because I really enjoy sleeping. I wouldn't want to get up at 2:30 a.m.
Well,
Tom
Holland, if you look at his, Tom Holland wrote one, the actor Tom Holland, and his is really funny, actually. It's this kind of banal day. Anyway, I thought for a bit of a laugh, I'd write mine.
Okay.
So, because obviously, I'm not saying that I'm a celebrity.
And you've spoken to your publicist about
this. I've spoken
to
my publicist. They're happy with this.
Is Muffin your publicist?
Yes. Like cats. So this is my classic day. So classic Saturday, woke up at 8 and then remembered that I was on my own in the house, as my teenage children live half the week at their boyfriend's houses now. They don't like living at home. However, the familiar sound woke me up at 8 o'clock anyway, of four cats running around the house and fighting, only three of which are mine. Let's just say that now. And I'm not going to go back to sleep because of that. So I lie in bed, doom scrolling Instagram, and I spent about an hour trying to work out what Christine Kessel 2 actually does for 6 months of the year, living on a cruise ship for free with her husband and feeling like I'd quite like to punch her in the face. So that was an hour of my life. Distracted by another app, Snoop, for another hour. I set a new budget for myself and bemoaned how much money I spend on just stuff each month. And then pushing aside the kind of pressing and depressing deadline of remortgaging in June, I set myself a budget which I know I won't stick to, as I want to buy some new storage boxes. Anyway, all of that wasting time meant that I was totally up on my fasting for the day, because I'd stayed in bed all morning doom scrolling.
That is how you fast.
So I fasted for 18 hours, because then it was lunchtime. Wow. And also then that means I can eat as much as I want. So lunch was an air fryer delight, as I've got the hang of bacon now. Comes out very nicely in the air fryer. The cats have been eating all the dried up bits of food on the floor, because they're not so keen on the fasting lark. And the imposter cat has been in and hoovered up all the dry food. So they've left all sorts of nasty objects in the litter tray for me as well to empty. So that's kind of what I have to do when I get up at lunchtime.
Bloom doesn't have to do that.
No. So by this point, it's 2 o'clock in the afternoon. And I've got about 12 hours of DIY, housework, ironing, shopping, writing 2 funding applications and my legs to shave before I go to bed. So, you know, just a few things to do. I asked my neighbour to help me with the DIY on this particular Saturday. And just before he pops over, I decided to spray lacquer on the newly painted doors and shelves. Note to self, don't buy matte paint for doors. And I've now got to fumigate the whole house, because I don't know if you've ever tried spraying lacquer, but it's quite poisonous. It's quite horrible. And I did wonder whether or not my polo neck jumper, which I am sporting today with a nice big polo neck, was enough to keep those toxic fumes from poisoning me and the cats. So I opened both front doors, back and front doors, just in case. So I had a through draft of all the fumes going through the house. This is me DIYing. And then I obviously, you know, spent a lot of time berating myself for not getting a face mask. Too late, I tell myself, and I hold my nose instead. That's my approach to DIY. That's how good I am. My neighbour came over and helped me to work out what to do with the washing machine that hasn't been plumbed in for 2 weeks now. My laundry episode can be for another day. I can definitely go into that one. And he left me cutting a clothes rail with a hacksaw on the kitchen table by myself. I did wonder whether this was a good idea. And then I was absolutely amazed at how my hands can be so unfit, because 5 minutes in and they were aching. And I was thinking, am I doing this wrong? I switched to using my foot as the clamp rather than my hand. So I've got my foot up on the bench and the rail underneath my foot as I'm hacksawing it. And that works a little bit better. But anyway, I guess that was my workout for the day. So, and then thinking of that, oh yes, I must go back to the gym or swim, or at least just go down to the bar and have a drink to get my £50 a month membership value out of that organisation. Anyway, 3 attempts later and I've got a new coat rail installed under the stairs. Whoopee! And I sit down and have a very large Diet Coke and a chocolate biscuit to celebrate. Then I went off into the car because I thought, oh no, I've got to go. Now I've got all these shelves and everything. I've got to go and get all my storage. So Lucy Worsley's voice comes smashing through the speaker with her Lady Killers series. Let's find out which Victorian murderers were up to this week. And I was thinking, why wasn't history is interesting at school? And I wondered if Lucy Worsley and I met, we would get on. I think we really would. So I thought maybe I'll just get hold of her and try and invite her onto our radio show. Anyway, all those thoughts took me to Chelmsford and I hit the shops in the pouring rain for some retail therapy. And I wandered round Dunelm and I thought there are many other shops available, but I thought, who buys half this stuff? Does anyone really need that plastic thing that shapes rice into balls and different shapes? I don't know if you've seen this, but you can get a plastic thing that makes your rice in different shapes.
I have seen them on the internet, yes.
Do you need a whole Easter plate service as well as the normal ones? Anyway, I go upstairs in the shop and I think nobody has ever gone upstairs before in this shop ever. There's no one in the haberdashery bit and I don't actually think anyone knows that there is an upstairs. I thought about taking myself out for dinner, but my inner voice of doom tells me to save money and lose weight basically on the hour, half hour and every quarter of the hour throughout the day. So I get a Wagyu steak from another supermarket and cook it with some air fried sweet potato. All of my new storage solutions are filled up and put on the shelves. So that just leaves the mountain, and it literally was a mountain of ironing, which I start tackling at 8 p.m. and work through to 1 a.m. supported by the last season of Fargo and more Diet Coke. A couple of existential fears and dreads about work at bedtime, but listening to Jamie Dornan on Audible Sleep podcast gets me off. Fun times. That was my day.
It was quite full, actually. I don't really know what to say.
No, well, I thought, you know, that's a normal day.
Other than I'm glad you still have both hands.
I have both hands. I have a rail. You know, I just, the existential fear and thought of dread is gone, you know, for the moment. But I thought, you know, that's kind of what most people's, is that what most people's lives are like? Or is it more like Greg?
I mean, there's quite a lot of stuff in here. I don't know. The thing that gets me about the celebrities' daily routines is every day they imply is the same.
Yeah.
And I just don't have that level of regularity in my day.
No, me neither.
I think the only regular thing that happens is I wake up and I have a cup of coffee. That's it.
Yes.
The rest of the day is as it is, you know, bar maybe watching some TV before bed.
Yeah, I think my regular routine is I wake up and I feed cats. Yeah. Sometimes I remember to have coffee. Sometimes I don't.
Mm.
And, you know, depending on what, if I'm at work, I go to, I have to feed the cats. That's the thing.
Is that a health regime, do you think? On the basis of these celebrity conversations?
I don't know. That's it. That's all my, I mean, obviously I've got children as well, so there's various things I have to do for them in the morning. But ultimately, if I am working from home, then the cats have to get fed. Or if I'm working outside of the home, then I have to feed the cats before I leave the house. Mm. But that's about it, really, in terms of regularity. So that was my kind of that is one Saturday, but that's not every Saturday. No. Next Saturday is not going to look like that at all.
I feel comforted by the doom scrolling, because that actually is quite regular for my weekend.
Isn't it, though? Isn't it amazing? Like, I literally spent an hour watching this woman's whole life on a cruise ship. And documenting every single thing that she eats.
But why? You know, you've got this big chance of living on a cruise ship. Why would you document all of that?
I don't know.
I hate documenting things.
She was saying things like, you know, I know people look at my life and get jealous of me, but what you don't realise is that I look at your lives and I get jealous of yours too. And I was like, no, you don't.
You're not trying to wrangle a cat out of
anyways.
Your house.
Exactly. You don't have an existential doom and dread over a remortgaging that's happening soon. None of this stuff matters to you. You're a freebie. You're a freeloader on a cruise ship because your husband is some kind of engineer.
You just have to choose which bikini to wear every day.
Yeah. And you know.
It's not a struggle.
Whether or not to bring your parents with you there for this one. It's just mad. Anyway, that was a bit of a waste of my life, I have to admit, yesterday morning. But there you go. If anybody wants any more of those, I'm very happy to write some more every weekend. But let's go to our national news update instead. Culture Secretary Lucy Fraser has ordered a full-scale review of Arts Council England following an initial assessment, which could have resulted in no further action. However, Fraser's opted for a full-scale review. Recently in the House of Lords, there was a debate fronted by Melvyn Bragg, which raised the issue of the lack of value of culture in society and its woeful state of funding, and also the relationship between Arts Council England and government. Arts Council England, if you didn't know, is supposed to be arm's length from central government, which is to ensure an element of independence from political persuasion. However, in recent years, the arm's length has definitely got shorter, and some would say that they've been removed almost completely. Mm. So there's a big review going on into the Arts Council, which is coming up very shortly. Also, we have been, as I'm sure you've been seeing in the news, we've been bombarded by AI fake celebrity videos causing havoc with their publicists and their fans. And the UK government has responded with a white paper looking at the regulations around AI. The approach is for more agile AI regulation, backing regulators with the skills and tools they need to address the risks and opportunities of AI. The white paper consultation response carves out the UK's own approach to regulation, which will ensure it can quickly adapt to emerging issues and avoid placing burdens on businesses which could stifle innovation. So it's kind of trying to get this balance right between looking after people and regulation, and then also not stifling the potential opportunities. alongside the white paper, £2 million of Arts and Humanities Research Council funding was announced last week, which will support new research projects which will help to define what responsible AI looks like across sectors such as education, policing and the creative industries. And these projects are all part of HRC's Bridging Responsible AI Divides, or BRAID, programme. So lots of looking into AI regulation. This is a nice one. The Art Fund is teaming up with National Lottery Heritage to digitise street art in a national campaign to preserve some of the best and most diverse canvases in our cities. This three-year initiative starts in January this year and runs to December 2026. And they're going to record and photograph around 5,000 murals across the UK and make them freely available on the Art UK website. Painted murals will consist of a large part of this project, but it's also sculptural murals in concrete, brick, wood, stone, tile and other materials. And what's really fun about this is they're going to build this whole kind of body of volunteers to help do this as well, and they're training up volunteers to go and take those photographs and get them ready for digitising. Some of the concrete canvas examples in Chelmsford were used in the article on their website. That's the Art Fund. If you haven't seen concrete canvas in Chelmsford yet, head over to Chelmsford for you to find out more.
I kind of feel like there could be a cut costing version of this, where actually they just ask Pokemon Go if they can yeah. use all of the images that they've taken yeah. of all of these artworks. Because I don't know if you've ever played Pokemon Go.
My children play literally
it. Every Pokestop is either a mural it's a statue or it's a place that is kind of culturally interesting. Mm. And I kind of feel like this database already exists. It's just in a game version.
Well, I mean, it would have been a way to get Pokemon Go to work with them, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
To be able to get, like, instead of having to train up all these volunteers, just get loads of young
people. And actually,
people.
All of those Pokestops, I don't know if you know, but the back end of that is volunteers uploading that content. You can go as kind of... a fan, you can go into Pokemon Go, get into the back access area, and almost like Wikipedia, you can change the Pokestops and suggest different places. So actually the piece of work's been done in like this parallel world.
Oh, if only they had if been only playing. They knew. If only they'd talked to you about it first.
Exactly.
Anyway, I thought it was a nice idea. Maybe the next iteration they can kind of make a partnership.
Or maybe Pokemon,
with
Pokemon Go can just use that instead.
Oh, exactly.
And have nicer imagery.
Exactly. And then two more. So the Wildlife Photographer of the Year was announced. This is Nima Sarikani, who has snapped a beautiful portrait of a sleeping polar bear perched on an iceberg.
That is lovely.
It is really beautiful. Have a look for that. Google that one. It's one of those images that's trying to make polar bears look cute when we know that polar bears are
that polar bear would definitely
not cute.
Eat you.
And finally, the longest running continuous concert, which has been going since 2001 and is scheduled to last until 2640.
Wow.
Just, you know, get that number in your head. 2640. It's changed a chord.
Yeah. Big news.
It is big news. It doesn't happen very often. This is the performance of John Cage's composition, Organ Squared, ASLSP, As Slow As Possible, in an unassuming town at the foot of the Harz Mountains. It's one of the longest running concerts in the world, and at 3 p.m. on the 5th of February, the concert reached its latest milestones. One of the volunteers who keeps this project going plugged in an additional pipe into the organ, adding a D to the current six-note chord. It will be the first chord change in 2 years, the 16th since it started more than two decades ago. This is Halberstadt's St. Buchard... my German's not coming out now. Burchardi Church hosted over 500 visitors who booked their ticket years in advance to hear that momentous moment last week. What a feat of inhuman endeavour that is going to take going until 2640. And it really does make you think, doesn't it? Because most of us aren't going to be here in 2100. So
yeah,
how that's going to happen,
and
who knows.
And a lot of people will continue to do it as well.
I know you've got to hand this on. Like, this is like the Knights Templar. It's got to keep going. How strange it would be to think about carrying on until 2640. But somebody who has written about the Undying Lands is J.R.R. Tolkien. A man known as the Undying Lands does not cause mortals to live forever. However, Only immortal beings are generally allowed to reside there, but exceptions were made for the surviving bearers of the One Ring, Bilbo, Frodo Baggins and Sam Gamgee, who stayed there for a time, and the dwarf Gimli. Slightly different to the end of the film, you'll notice, because Sam Gamgee in the book goes to the Undying Lands too. Anyway, why do I mention that? Because it's our next track. The Ballad of Bilbo Baggins is a song composed by Charles Randolph Green and performed by Leonard Nimoy, telling the story of Bilbo Baggins and his adventures in J.R.R. Tolkien's 1937 novel, The Hobbit. And that's another one from the Art Club.
In the middle of the earth, in the land of Shire, lives a brave little hobbit whom we all admire. With his long wooden pipe, fuzzy woolly toes, he lives in a hobbit hole and everybody knows him. Bilbo, Bilbo Baggins, he's only 3 feet tall. Bilbo, Bilbo Baggins, the bravest little hobbit of them all. Now hobbits are peace-loving folks, you know. They're never in a hurry and they take things slow. They don't like to travel away from home. They just like to eat and be left alone. But one day Bilbo was asked to go on a big adventure to the caves below to help some dwarves get back their gold that was stolen by a dragon in the days of old. Bilbo, Bilbo Baggins, is only 3 feet tall. Bilbo, Bilbo Baggins, the bravest little hobbit of them all. Well, he fought with the goblins. He battled a troll. He riddled with Gollum. A magic ring he stole. He was chased by wolves, lost in the forest, escaped in a barrel from the Elf King's halls. Bilbo, Bilbo Baggins, the bravest little hobbit of them all. Home in the land of Shire, that brave little hobbit whom we all admire, just sitting on a treasure of silver and gold, puffing on his pipe in his hobbit hole. Bilbo, Bilbo Baggins, he's only 3 feet tall. Bilbo, Bilbo Baggins, the bravest little hobbit of them all.
Phoenix FM.
Looking to celebrate a birthday, anniversary, or maybe an engagement soon? At Brentwood Golf Club, our fully licensed function room is perfect for your special occasion. With reasonable room hire, a fully stocked bar, and access to decorate your theme from 10 a.m., contact Stacey or Chanel in our functions team on 01277 375 101 to find out more. Brentwood Golf Club Function Room, making your celebration that bit more special.
The elements influence us each year, whether it's heat in summer or cold in winter. At JWD, we can take care of all your heating and air conditioning needs at a reasonable price, with finance available through our partners Can Do if required. Our engineers give their promise to be clean and tidy whilst carrying out works to the highest standard. Give us a call on 0776 009 239 or visit our social media pages at JWD Heating.
Immerse yourself in the true Mediterranean essence at Leilina Modern Lebanese, nestled on Billericay's vibrant high street. Uncover the magic of our hidden garden. Sip on exceptional cocktails, savour unforgettable cuisine, and create cherished memories that linger long after you leave. Enjoy a complimentary glass of house wine when you mention Phoenix FM upon booking. Available Sunday to Thursday. Terms and conditions apply.
The all-new new Players Lounge has got everything you need for the perfect night out. With two bars, a restaurant and the best sound and lighting system in Essex. With regular special events and guest DJs, you're always guaranteed a brilliant night at Players. On the 5th of February, it's top DJ Roman Kemp. And on the 12th of February, it's the Stars of House with Marcus Dryden, Mickey Star Lewis and Daryl Privet. Check us out and book now at players-lounge.co.uk.
Phoenix FM.
Start a fire without